WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, June 28th, 2016. We've got a great hour in store for all of you out there, but we will be doing today's show with certainly heavy hearts as we have yet again lost two sporting icons today. Two that will certainly be missed and two that left a unforgettable imprint on their respective sports. Folks, we are talking about Pat Summitt, former University of Tennessee women's college basketball coach, and also Buddy Ryan, who orchestrated the famed 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl defense. Ryan and Summitt have passed away. We will pay tribute to those two sporting icons, and we will also invite to the show after our first break Susie Merchant, who is the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team. Susie has, or I should say now had, a very interesting connection with the great Pat Summitt. So you do not want to miss that interview. On the back end of the show, we will talk about Denzel Valentine, former Michigan State hoop great, now Chicago Bull, as he was introduced to the Chicago fan base via press conference yesterday. So all of that, as well as take your calls throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKAR. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, and as we mentioned at the top of the hour, again, legendary women's basketball coach Pat Summitt passed away this morning at the age of 64. Summitt is the winningest NCAA Division I college coach who led the Lady Vols to the to a staggering, 1,098 victories from 1974 to 2012. The Lady Vols won 8 NCAA championships under Summitt. Also, her athletes exceeded a 100% graduation rate within their 4 years of eligibility. Now, in 2011, Summitt did announce that she had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, early onset dementia, which led her to her retirement the following year. Coach Summitt will truly be missed and has set milestones in women's collegiate basketball. As I mentioned, we will have Susie Merchant, the head coach of the women's basketball team, on our airwaves today to pay tribute to Pat Summitt. You don't want to miss that. And also, NFL legendary defensive coach Buddy Ryan passed away this morning at the age of 82. Ryan was known for designing the legendary 1985 feared 46 defense of the Chicago Bears. Throughout his 35-year coaching career, Ryan has also served as the defensive coordinator to the Eagles and Houston Oilers and head coach of the Eagles and the Cardinals. He now leaves his three sons, Jim, Rob, and Rex, along with his 6 grandchildren as they live his legacy throughout in his memory. All right, folks, I want to invite our current sports production assistant, Sierra Pryor, who will also help me through the rest of these headliners. Sierra, on a more lighter note.
Yes, okay. So, with the 14th overall draft pick, Michigan State's own Denzel Valentine will be heading to the Chicago Bulls. Earlier last week, the Bulls traded Derrick Rose, who will now be a New York Knick. Valentine will start practicing for the NBA Summer League within the next week as he gets ready for the big leagues.
Yeah, some very cool stuff as Valentine was officially introduced to the Chicago fan base alongside Fred Hoiberg and company. Wishing Valentine the best. We'll have more on Denzel later on in the hour. Also, the hearing for former Michigan State basketball hoop star Mateen Cleaves has been adjourned until July 29th. Cleaves is being charged with sexual assault from last summer of a 24-year-old woman at a hotel. Prosecutors claim Cleaves met the woman at a golf outing, then went out for drinks after and took her to a hotel where he held her against her will. He faces multiple felony charges that can go up to 15 years in prison, but he does maintain his innocence. Sierra.
Now, do you remember when the Detroit Lions were adding to their cheerleaders? Well, 37 have been called back from tryouts. A squad around 25 will be announced in August and will make their debut September 18th in the home opener at Ford Field against the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, and the first time that the Lions have ever had cheerleaders. All right.
Right.
Also, he's back. That's right. The Detroit Red Wings have re-signed Drew Miller in a one-year deal worth $1.025 million. Of course, Miller has ties right here to Michigan State University as well. Miller missed the second half of the season after suffering a torn meniscus this past January. Though his offense isn't the same as his rookie days, his speed is what continuously keeps him on the ice and is what makes him the Detroit Red Wings' secret weapon for penalty kills. So Drew Miller back in the D. Also, Hockey Hall of Famer, yeah, you can call him that now, Raji Vachon. Raji Vachon, former LA Kings goaltender, will be inducted November 14th in Toronto as they celebrate his accomplishments with a record of 355, 291, and 171. That's a lot of games, folks. Vachon had a goals against average of 2.99 and 51 shutouts in 795 games. Though he never won a Stanley Cup with the Kings, he soon will have his own Hall of Fame ring. See?
Now, due to Zika concerns, Jason Day pulls out of the 2016 Olympics. After a century-long absence of golf at the Games, they now lose two of their major biggest stars within a week. Day mentioned to the Associated Press that his concerns of passing up the Olympics are due to possible transmissions of the virus to his wife and their future pregnancies. The Australian golfer is now the fifth overall golfer to specifically cite Zika for not going to Rio.
All right. Thank you, Sierra. Folks, our phone lines are now open. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, to be a part of today's show. So much to get to, so little time. It's about that time to start the show. Good job.
Legendary women's basketball coach Pat Summitt has died, according to a statement from her son. Her health was certainly deteriorating in recent weeks. We just reported on that word coming out of the family yesterday. And, of course, the Lady Vols. I mean, Pat Summitt made them. 8 titles, 38 years as a head coach. She is the winningest coach in women's basketball history. Summitt announced her diagnosis of early onset Alzheimer's in 2011. She was only 64 years old. But what an impact she had in her life. And not just X's and O's, not just wins and losses. The confidence of women's excellence in sport, the level they could play at, how they could compete, what it meant for them.
7 Eyewitness News has just learned former NFL head coach Buddy Ryan, who is also Rex Ryan's father, has died. You see the two here together. This is all according to ESPN. Ryan had coached in the NFL for 35 seasons for teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Jets, and he was even here in Buffalo at one point coaching the Buffalo Bulls in the 1960s. He was known for building some of football's top defenses. Ryan was 82 years old.
How we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, June 28th, and if you're like me, you woke up with a heavy heart after seeing the news that we have lost not one, but two sporting icons. I feel like, you know, and I gave this speech a few weeks ago as we saw Muhammad Ali leave us, as we saw Gordie Howe leave us, as we saw Ron Mason leave us. Now Pat Summitt and Buddy Ryan, 2016 has been so unkind. God doesn't take things away to be cruel. He takes things away to make room for other things. He takes things away to lighten us. He takes things away so we can fly. That's a quote from Pat Summitt, who again passed away today at the young age of 64 years old. And after seeing that news flash across my smartphone as I woke up today, I saw that the orchestrator of, let's just call it like it is, the greatest defense in football history, that famed and feared 46 defense of the 1985 Chicago Bears, the great Buddy Ryan. He passed away this morning as well at the age of 82. Buddy Ryan and Pat Summitt are now gone, and all we can do now is reflect on the life and legacy that they now leave behind. We'll start with Summitt today. And again, after our first break, we will invite the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball program, Susie Merchant, to the show. Susie has a very cool connection to Pat Summitt, going back to her very first head coaching job. So Susie, I know, is really, really feeling it today as she got the news. Well, however she got the news about the passing of Pat Summitt. And we saw this. I mean, yesterday we actually led our show talking about Pat Summitt and her impact on the college game. And we were hearing reports throughout the weekend that Summitt's family had gathered bedside and they knew that the inevitable was right around the corner. And you look at Summitt's career, and you look at the success that she had. As I mentioned in our headliners, I mean, she is an 8-time NCAA Division I women's basketball champion. She won championships in 1987, 1989, 1991, 96 to 98, and then in 2007 and 2008. She is a 16-time SEC champion. She is a 16-time SEC tournament champion. She is an 8-time SEC Coach of the Year, with the latest of that award coming back in 2011. She is a 7-time NCAA Coach of the Year. And also in 2012, she was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom and was even named the Naismith Coach of the 20th Century. She is a Hall of Famer, of course. She was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame back in 2000. And she has a few medals under her name as well. In 1973, won the World University Games in Moscow. Silver medal there. Won the gold in the Pan American Games in 1975 as a player in Mexico. Then the Olympic Games. Won the silver medal there in 1976 in Montreal. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Total, she won 5 gold medals, folks. There is no other coach in women's sports that has done, and you can make an argument, will ever do whatever. When you look at just those accomplishments in comparison to other coaches in women's sports ranks, there's no other coach that will do what Pat Summitt did, folks. I was flipping through and watching the pictures on social media, and there was one picture that was posted via ESPN that showed Pat's statue on the campus of the University of Tennessee with flowers and other commemoratives laying at the statues at the foundation of the statue. And you know, it just makes you, when you hear stories like this, it makes you appreciate life, because Pat Summitt was just 64 years old, okay? And I remember when she left the game in 2012, when she was diagnosed with early onset dementia. You know, I knew that it was going to be a struggle, and she was going to have a long battle with it. But I didn't think that the battle would only last, 4 years. Tough stuff. And we encourage you all out there. I want to encourage our listeners out there who know of Pat Summitt, who know about her impact on sports. I want you all just to share a story and share a thought or two on how much she will be missed and what her legacy is. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, because it's just so crazy to me. You know, I when hearing about the news about Pat this past weekend, I said, no, not another one. That's exactly what went through my mind, because again, folks, we've lost some statures, you know, some icons in the sporting world and beyond. I mean, you know, I could talk about Prince. I could talk about David Bowie. I mean, I could go on and on and on here. 2016 has not been kind. And again, it is a reminder that we could be here today and gone tomorrow. I want to invite right now to the show, while you guys are calling in, two of our fantastic current sports production assistants. And, you know, they've been doing a fantastic job thus far throughout the summer here. And they are two athletes in their own right. And their names, of course, are Bria Thompson and Sierra Pryor. Sierra is an athlete with the Michigan State women's track and field team. And Bria is from Illinois, and she used to play college basketball at Millikan University. So I want to start with Bria, and then we'll go to Sierra to talk about the life and legacy that is Pat Summitt. And Bria, I know you have a certain affinity for Pat Summitt, seeing as though you played women's college basketball, and you could probably see her impact on the game as far as from a popularity standpoint and beyond. Mm-hmm. You can see that firsthand, seeing as though you played the game at a college. What's your reaction to this news?
Well, it's definitely a tragedy, definitely a young age, 64. But Pat definitely laid down the groundwork for us as women athletes in general, and not just basketball specifically. But, you know, it's one thing that I read in an article, and it was that she, for like the players on her team, has a 100% graduation rate. And that's important to me, because not only is she helping these women on the court, she's helping them in the classroom as well. And that's what keeps them going every day. Someone will motivate mm-hmm. them, you know, not just to win a game, but to win in life. And get a degree and become someone one day after basketball, or in even continuing in basketball in general. And so I think Pat is definitely someone we owe appreciation to, a lot of gratitude. I just really say thank you, because I know my coach, you know, when you find out your coach is diagnosed with any type of disease, my former coach, she was diagnosed with cancer twice and beat it. And that's important, because we, as her team, stand by her and with her through it all. So I think that's important. Pat is definitely somebody we can appreciate throughout life, even in sports and after sports. Before there was a Title IX, I read an article, before there was a Title IX, there was a Pat Summit. And if people don't know what Title IX is, it's basically like rights in general sports for women, guys, all in disabilities in general. So definitely, I think she's one of the greats.
And that's something that also, you know, I want to bring up as well. It's a good point because there are many of Pat's former athletes, like a Candace Parker, who are, you know, really just because, you know, that's the thing about Pat, you know, and I mentioned this on yesterday's show. Pat was a mother figure to all of our athletes. Mm-hmm.
Somebody put in an article that she was like a surrogate mother for all of these children.
Certainly. Yes. Yeah. Especially when looking at some of the backgrounds that some of these athletes come through when they come into our program. And she was so humble and so willing to help out, you know, her athletes and anyone she came in contact, really. So there are many former athletes of Pat's that are waking up today with we can only imagine what they are going through. Sierra, what has been your reaction to this news when it comes to the passing of Pat Summitt?
Very shocking, I would have to say. I was just telling my mother about the article I read, that how she refused to just stop taking her health medicine. And I was just like, wow. Is this really happening? Is it that bad? Because to be honest, I loved Pat. When growing up, I always wanted to play college basketball because of Pat Summitt and Candace Parker. Candace Parker was my idol.
Yes.
2005 through 2008, I was stuck on Candace Parker. I wanted to be Candace Parker. I even started comparing myself. I was like, she's CP, I'm CP, we could be CP.
I didn't even notice that.
I started wearing number 3 because of Candace. And the thing that it just caught my attention, because after all the games, they always gave credit to their coach, and not just I'll give credit to my coach, you know, for, you know, leading us, but they actually just gave life lessons during that. And I was reading how Pat was even hired at the age of
22
as a head coach. And that just showed me, if you look deeper into it, she's setting an example for women all over. Age is not a factor at all. Do what you have to do for what you believe in, because I believe Pat Summitt is for the women in sports, women in general, just showing that you can do anything in life and just pursuing that dream, what you want to be in life. So for her, just growing up, just looking at that, wow, I even wanted to be a Lady Vol. I'm not playing. I had the little cards with Ken. I had everything tennis. It was an obsession just because of how they, I wanted that relationship with my coach, how everybody else was, talking about it. I'm like, I want that.
Certainly. Now, Sierra, were you recruited for basketball? Because you played basketball at Jackson High, right?
I did, yes. 4 years varsity, yeah. But I did get recruited, but it wasn't
with schools?
Not big division D2 school,
yeah. Okay.
And I was just I really want to go to a major university. But throughout my high school career, I kind of was leaning towards more track since I was getting more success out of it, because I did track kind of all year round besides basketball. But it was just I really wanted to be a Lady Vol. I'm like, I want that relationship. She's still there. I can be there. But then right before I graduated, that's when she announced her retirement. And I was just well, who's going to be the coach now? And I was just Pat Summitt, if you ever want to come back,
you may have to transfer schools, yeah.
Right. I'll try out for the team. It don't matter. I'm just kidding. But seriously, she was one of a kind.
Now, since you played college basketball, Bria, I want to get your perspective on just the impact that you think Pat had on the game itself. Because I feel like before Pat, and now you see at UConn, of course, and you look at what Gino Auriemma is going through. And it's that's another conversation I want to have on the show, too, because Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt used to get into it.
They
used to hate each other. Then they ended up loving each other at the end of their career. So I love that relationship because they were just such fierce competitors. But before Gino, it was Pat. And Pat was the pioneer for really saying, hey, women's college basketball is a great product. Mm-hmm. It is entertaining. Us girls can get it in, too.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yes. And I want to ask, what is the impact that you see today from Pat Summitt from when you play?
From when I play? Okay, so I personally love physical contact. You know, I like to get down and dirty on the court. And I feel like people look at women in sports and think that there's a more male dominant. And it is, because that's what it's originated, you know. And so they don't feel that women can can get to that level, you know.
As far
what I'm
as being
to...
physical in a basketball
yes,
court, women, you know,
as
a lot
far
of,
as
of,
being physical.
A lot of the population feels though, when they look at women's sports, it's just, it's soft.
Right.
It's soft.
But I feel like she was tough but classy
Very.
With it. She was tough but classy. It was a way that you can still hold your ground and be a woman, if that makes sense. You don't have to be that person on the court that's screaming and yelling, but you can definitely, you know,
have that swagger about you.
Yeah, like state your opinion. Maybe, you know, you've upset at the call on offense. Get it back on defense, you know. Get a good steal or a block, you know. Work harder for the little things that made you upset during the game for a greater outcome. I feel my coach, she's, you know, definitely a
Pat's intense. You know, Pat, when I look at footage sometimes. Of Pat Summit, Pat reminds me a lot of Tom Izzo on the sidelines.
Yeah.
She's very intense but very loving at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, she can dig into you, which, you know, that's what made Pat special. And I was listening to a story driving in on ESPN Radio, and I forget who the reporter was, but he was telling the story of how Pat, during her young coaching career, they were thinking about having Pat actually coach men because she was so good. But, again, she was the head coach. I forget where she was at prior to Tennessee. But she was running her practices, and the guy said, no, I think you should let her run her program because
she knows
what she's doing. And they went to her practice, and they said, okay, yeah, let's let her do her thing here. She was that good.
But C made a comment about how they always gave credit to her coach after any game, you know, the team or the players within the team. And I feel like one thing that sometimes players don't do is trust their coaches and trust what the plan is as far as the coaching staff in general. And that's why some people veer off and then you're on the coach and you're on the, you know, court coaching yourself. But the reason why Pat was so successful and their teams were so successful is because they believed in her and they believed in her, you know, her plan of action. And she took charge. I mean, if you are the type of coach who's named the most winningest coach, that means you're doing something right. You're actually getting them to listen to you and respect you on another level.
Right. Before we hit our first break, let's just kind of put in perspective what you guys think Pat Summit should be remembered for. Sierra?
Pat Summit would have to be remembered for her fight. Just for the overall movement of women's sports, just the fight, like drive behind you, like that power. Because when I think of Pat Summit, I think of you have John Wooden, and I just see Pat Summit right sitting right next to him, like literally. That's where I put her up ranking wise. She's just like that figure, like you just want to follow that, like that passion and drive for what she believes in. So for me, I have to remember her by just that fight in her for what she believes in women's sports, just like that drive, that passion. Yeah.
I like that. Bria?
I think we should definitely remember her for her genuineness. She was a genuine person, and she genuinely wanted to make a name for women in sports. She genuinely wanted to make, you know, a way for her team to be successful in life or whatever they had planned. So I feel she was a genuine person, and that's what you should remember her by.
Folks, what do you think Pat Summit should be remembered for? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports and also even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR if you want to weigh in on this conversation. Bria Sierra, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was very much appreciated.
No problem.
Of course.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball program, the great Susie Merchant. Susie has a direct connection with Pat Summit that's pretty cool. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I mentioned how, you know, we're talking about Pat Summit, of course, the great head coach of the Tennessee women's basketball program. I mentioned, you know, I told the story of how, you know, there was when Pat first got hired, You know, I told the story of how I was trying to figure out if she had been somewhere before Tennessee. But no, folks, I mean, she spent her entire coaching career, head coaching career at Tennessee, dating back to 1974 all the way up until 2012. And, you know, and she's one of those figures that really had to earn her way when it comes to gaining respect in the world of head coaching in college sports, and really a pioneer. So today we are talking about, of course, the passing of Coach Summitt and, of course, Buddy Ryan, NFL legendary defensive coach, who passed away this morning as well at the age of 82, designing that 1985 Chicago Bears defense that is revered to this day. So we want you all to call in and give your thoughts. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are paying tribute and homage to the great Summitt and Buddy Ryan. And, you know, it's funny, when discussing Buddy Ryan, I just recently watched a documentary, an ESPN 30 for 30, of course. They knock it out the park every single time, I feel like. But there's a documentary centered on that very team, the 1985 Chicago Bears. And it goes into, you know, the relationship that Buddy Ryan had with Mike Ditka that was just not the greatest relationship. For those that know about that team back in the 80s, Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan did not get along. And, you know, they were two figures, though, that compromised in order to win. And that's exactly what happened. And I don't think there will ever be a greater defense than that 1985 team that went on to win the Super Bowl. So we are asking you all to call in and share your thoughts and memories of the great Buddy Ryan and Pat Summitt. Again, the number to call in is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And let's get to our guest for today's show, who is going to, of course, pay homage and tribute to the legendary Pat Summitt. Right now on line one, we have the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team, Susie Merchant. Susie, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thanks so much for taking some time out this afternoon to talk about this very heavy topic. First off, Susie, upon hearing about the news of Summitt's passing, first off, how did you get the news and what was your initial reaction?
Well, I mean, we had kind of had a little bit of an inside track here at Michigan State with my director of basketball operations, Elisha Bond, is part of the Tennessee family, actually. She worked for Pat Summitt. She was her director of operations back when those jobs just first started to come on the scene. So I had an opportunity to stay connected a little bit, knowing what was going on, personally there. She was, as I mentioned, part of that Lady Vol family, the very tight-knit group. So she was getting updates, you know, the last couple of days. So we were sort of prepared for, you know, the situation wasn't a surprise. Kind of what was a surprise was how long she fought through the last couple of days here. Most of the time in her condition, it sounded like it would be hours, you know, and she lasted a couple of days. So I think it says a lot about the person that she is, that she fought that long. So a lot of her former players and people could connect with her and see her before she passed. She's just an amazing person. I think there's very few people in this world that can make that big of an influence on so many people to transcend gender. Honestly, Elle, I mean, she is an amazing women's basketball coach, but what she did for our sport, but more importantly, what she did for women, and to be nationally recognized and revered by so many people in the industry in different sports, different levels, I think says so much about the person she was.
Yeah, it's so true, and it's amazing, you know, watching the national coverage on Pat Summitt's passing, and you see all of these revered figures in just sports in general weighing in on what Pat Summitt meant to the game and beyond. For you, Susie, what was your relationship like with Pat Summitt? Did you guys ever meet, and how close were you to, if so?
Well, it's an interesting story for me. I was an assistant coach at Oakland University right out of college. They were a small Division II school. At the time, I was basically like a glorified graduate assistant. And my boss at the time, he was good friends with Don Meyer, a guy's a legendary coach on the men's side at the time. And he decided he wanted to do a coaching clinic at Oakland, and he wanted Pat and Don to do it together. So we had the Pat Summit Don Meyer Coaching Academy at Oakland University for a few years. So right out of college, I met her. I would pick her up from the airport, kind of helped organize the event, just really in awe. You know, she was a rock star, obviously, in our industry, and just amazed, so impressed. Used my name as soon as she met me and kind of actually found out who I was with my first name. She used my name from then on the entire time. Very personal person. And actually, the second year, I think I had just finished my second season. I was 24, and the coaching job at Saginaw Valley had come open. And my boss said, hey, would you mind calling the athletic director up there at Saginaw Valley for Susie? And I didn't have enough guts to ask her. I was sort of intimidated by her. I didn't say a whole lot to her. Sure, for a long period of time, she probably thought I couldn't speak.
Well, I get that. I mean, it's Pat Summit, for goodness sake,
but,
Susie.
But honestly, she did. I swear I got that job, and one of the main reasons I got the job was that athletic director was so impressed that Pat Summit would call on my behalf. And I really didn't know her that well, Al, but I think what it says about her is how much she did for our sport, how much she believed in young women, women in our game, and what she's done for our profession. So I think back to that time, and it was a pretty powerful moment. And she since then, we've always, you know, communicated and spoke on the road. But certainly one of our staff members here is really part of that Vol family.
What a cool story, Susie. And, you talk about the coaching tenure of Pat Summit. She started very young as well. At 22 years old, she became a grad assistant at the University of Tennessee and then kind of, went from there and really spread her wings. When you look at what Pat Summit was able to do at the University of Tennessee and the success that she had there, what made her different? What made her such a dynamic figure in coaching and what eventually transcended into her success, Susie? What made her different?
Well, I think the major thing that I would tell you I see in her is that she came at coaching from a servant role instead of in her ego-driven. A lot of people have the ego side to coaching, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the head coach, all about me. She was always about everybody else. I think she really operated from a place of, what can I do for you? Didn't matter where you were at in her program, didn't matter what her relationship was for you. She was always willing to give to other people. And it doesn't happen very often. There's a lot of successful coaches that really don't care about the profession in whole. They don't care about where it's at. It's all about what's important to them right now, what's good for them. And she was always from the angle of what's good for my girls and making them better and stronger women, what's good for this university, what's good for the nation in terms of women's sports. And she set the tone. I mean, her legacy, lives in each one of the kids she coached, and the outpouring is not surprising.
Is there anything that you use today, Susie, that emulates how she ran her program?
Discipline. She came up in a time where she believed in 100% discipline. And not that we don't, but I think times have changed a little bit. It makes it a little harder. You see a lot of the allegations coming out of abuse, coaches being abusive, when really you're just trying to hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't go to class, there should be a consequence, And you knew when you went to her program, there was a certain way that you did things. And I think she also set the trend to would think outside the box a little bit on the recruiting side. She definitely built a legacy there, and every little girl growing up wanted to play for Pat Summit at Tennessee. And there's been a lot of Michigan players that have left our state and gone and played at Tennessee. And she was really a pioneer, I think, in having that balance between being demanding and being demeaning. You know, she knew the difference, and a lot of coaches don't know the difference.
And I think you bring up a very interesting point there, Susie. And when you discuss generations, and you know, generationally, do you believe that coaching is becoming a bit tougher generationally? Because you look at, you know, how a lot of these kids, and I talk about this all the time, how a lot of these kids that come to programs now, they don't have that thick skin. And again, like you said, you got to hold them accountable and you have to instill discipline. Do you think that it's becoming tougher and tougher to do that in 2016?
Oh, there's no question about it. When we talk about it all the time as head coaches up here, you know, just trying to find ways to reach these millennial kids. I mean, you're looking at generations of kids now, a generation of kids that came up, and everybody got a trophy and everybody won.
Mm-hmm.
And if it didn't go well, you just went somewhere else, you know. So, it is getting a little bit harder. There's no question about it. But I also think in some way that a lot of the kids that come to this level and play for me here at Michigan State or anywhere else, I think they also appreciate being held accountable. It might be the first time. Not always easy. The struggle sometimes can be hard. But I think at the end of the day, when they walk away, they know they've accomplished something to stay in the fight and to become a better person and a better leader.
And in that same conversation, Susie, have you ever had a former player, you know, that you were a bit tough on, you know, here at Michigan State, you know, years down the line when they have gone and graduated and been thrown into the real world? Have you ever had a former player come back to you and say thanks?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you have a lot of them, you know, and that's what you do this for. You know, I just had LaKendra Johnson just came and stayed with me and brought her daughter Destiny, and if people remember that story, I mean, she mm-hmm. had a baby here and played it, and then went on, played her fifth year, but you know, she stayed with me for a few days. She put her arm around me when she was leaving, and she said, you know, Coach, I just want to say thanks for being a mentor and a second mom to me, because you showed me that I could be a mom and do what I needed to do and accomplish my goals and dreams. I watch you do it every day, and I just want to say thanks. And I think back to some of those meetings we had, you know, across the course of her 4 years, and then at the end there when she told me she was pregnant and, you know, sort of what was going to go on there and how we had to support her and, you know, help her, but at the same time, you know what she was getting into, be truthful, and that's not always an easy thing to hear. So, you know, I can't imagine, you think about Pat and how many women, and you'll see it, you know, I can't even imagine what the celebration will be of her life here in the next couple of days.
Folks, if you are just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Susie Merchant, the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team. Susie, before we get you out of here, how do you see Pat Summitt's impact on the women's college basketball game today? And you mentioned how she transcended gender. How was she able to do that?
I think in the way she carried herself, first of all, people appreciate and respect success. But the way in which she carried herself, like I said, is a servant role. It was about everybody else, not about herself. Certainly she was competitive and liked to win, but I think it was the path in which she would take. I think her greatest pride is to see a lot of the girls she coached go on into the profession or go on to be successful in their own lives. You know, that's what drove her. It wasn't the paycheck. Certainly you can look at her career and see, you know, when she started, nobody even cared about women's sports. I mean, she literally revolutionized women's sports, not women's basketball, women's sports. You know, when you have people across the country with the fame they have, recognizing and paying homage to her, I think it says so much about what she is and who she is. I mean, she empowered a nation to appreciate, respect, love, and encourage young girls to be the best they can be in the forum of sport. And that to me is probably the greatest gift she's given all of us.
So true. And you know, and we've also had this discussion multiple times here on the show, Susie. When you look at the WNBA, there's been a lot of talk about the popularity concerning the WNBA and whether or not the WNBA will be able to survive as we look 5 years, 10 years down the road. Do you think the WNBA needs a quasi Pat Summitt at that level in order to help grow that aspect of the women's basketball game?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting dynamic there. I mean, I think it's frustrating on so many levels. You know, you just watch the guys draft, and you know, you're a lottery pick and you're guaranteed this money. I mean, Ariel Powers went to the draft. She was a top five draft pick in the country, and she doesn't even need an agent. You know, the contract is non-negotiable. This is the exact amount, $36,782 or whatever it is, and you're going to make this for three straight years. That's the rookie deal. You don't even need an agent. There's no endorsements. There's no nothing, you know. And you see a top 10 guy on the men's side, and, you know, they're making millions. You know, they just, you know, they just change their lives. So, I don't know. I think there's a long way to go. Would Pat have made that difference at that level? I don't know. I think what Pat did was change. She went from when Title IX happened out, you know, she was the one that improved it and built it and revolutionized, I think, women's sports at the college level. I think it propelled it into the start of the WNBA and that there should be professional opportunities in our state or in the states here in women's basketball. They don't always have to go overseas for everything. So I think she did a lot of that. Would she have saved the WNBA? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what's going on there. But, you know, obviously it would be great to see some changes and have a little more interest.
So true. Susie, final question here. How should people remember Pat Summitt?
Oh, I think if you have an image in your mind, I think they should see that stare she has. And I would say the stare of expectation. It's intensity. It's competitiveness. It's a drive, fire in her belly. I mean, I think she really, whenever I looked at her, it was a little bit scary at times, but I think all in a positive way because she believed in the standard of excellence for herself and her players. And when you didn't meet it, you knew it. So I would say that, and on the other side of the coin, I would tell you that she was a servant leader and one that was really, really powerful in women's sports in our country.
Susie Merchant, head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team, paying tribute and homage to the great Pat Summitt. Susie, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. It was a pleasure.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, Al.
You got it.
Okay.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by bringing up Denzel Valentine as well. Denzel Valentine was officially introduced to the Chicago Bulls fan base via press conference, and we will also have Tickle Tuesday for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, June 28th, 2016, and we have been paying homage and tribute to, of course, two sporting icons who bid us all adieu today. Pat Summitt, former University of Tennessee women's basketball coach, and Buddy Ryan, orchestrator of the greatest defense in NFL history with the Chicago Bears. Both Ryan and Summitt passed away today. We just finished talking with the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team, Susie Merchant. Susie has an interesting history when it comes to Pat Summitt. And if you missed that interview, you guys know that we post the podcast of each and every current sports radio show on our website at WKAR.org. This show will be live about 30 minutes to an hour right after we say goodbye at 2 p.m. I want to invite right now, we actually have two men behind the glass on today's show. We have longtime current sports production assistant Seth Kinker, as well as Isaac Constance, our regular engineer on the show. Isaac is letting Seth get his feet wet a bit behind the glass. And Seth, you are doing a fantastic job, my man. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And Isaac, what's up, dude?
Not too much. You know, just getting ready for the trip tomorrow.
Yes.
Excited. And I'm sorry that the show really did end on a dour note today, as it should. Two great legends in all respects of the sporting world who were lost.
Yeah, definitely. For you, Isaac, when looking at the death of Pat Summitt here, and also Buddy Ryan, I mean, what was your reaction this morning when seeing that news?
You know, I think there are a few important considerations, and one is I mean, I've got grandparents living and grandparents who have died because of dementia. And once they reach that stage, it is really terrible to see them go. But at the same time, you know that's their time. And that was the case with Pat Summitt. It sounds like she wasn't herself and she was by her bedside, like Susie Merchant said. They expected hours. She lived days. So it's really a credit to her fighting spirit. But that disease just takes so much out of you. And for a woman who entered the coaching realm at age 22, she was a head coach living off
graduate assistant at 22.
Then she took over the head coach job when the head coach left.
Right.
And she was making $250 a month.
Right.
Living in a dorm, I think.
And washing the uniforms, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That was her story. And to become the greatest women's basketball coach of all time, unquestionably, it's amazing the transformation that she made for the sport in general. Women's basketball, she was making $250 a month as a head coach. That's the state it was in. Now, I just saw a video of President Obama greeting the Minnesota Lynx at the White House. We are at a point where maybe equality isn't yet there, but it's in sight. And that's all because of Pat Summitt as much as anybody else. And then Buddy Ryan as well. You talk about the 85 Bears, the greatest team on the field probably ever. That defense was revolutionary. And what he brought to the game was remarkable and irreplicable. It was something where nowadays you can look at players and there are such prima donnas. That was a selfless team, and that all starts with the coaching. That's a model of an organization that you want to replicate no matter where you are.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you've seen the 85 Bears 30 for 30 documentary, but it's absolutely brilliant. And they talk about how Mike Ditka, when he was hired as the head coach, Ryan and Ditka used to feud all the time. And it is so funny, and they used to get into it, but they understood the task at hand, and that was actually winning a Super Bowl. And they eventually did that. And I believe to this day, Buddy Ryan is the only assistant football coach to ever, because it was so crazy. If you look at that fame picture, I think Buddy Ryan is still, to this day, the only assistant head football coach of a Super Bowl winning team to be carried off the field along with the head coach. You know, that fame picture of both Ditka and Ryan on the shoulders of their team. And, you know, it just goes to show that Buddy had just as much, if not a greater impact than the head coach of Mike Ditka during that time. Unbelievable.
Well, and that's certainly what I'd argue, watching how Mike Ditka ruined the New Orleans Saints drafting Ricky Williams. So I'd argue, yeah, give it to Buddy there.
You have a personal jab at that one right then, Isaac. All right. Well, 5 minutes left in the show. I want to bring up Denzel Valentine. Of course, Denzel Valentine, former Michigan State hoop star. He is now with Chicago Bulls and officially signed his contract. It was pretty cool seeing him at the press conference along with Denzel's parents sitting in the back watching that incredible moment. And Denzel Valentine, of course, will be wearing number 45. Looking at his career at Michigan State, he wore the number 45. But that number has some interesting history in Chicago Bulls lore, seeing as though that's the number that Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, wore when he came back to the Chicago Bulls after taking 2 years off to go and play baseball, or whatever you want to call that, right? And, you know, it's interesting because I haven't seen the number 45 on the back of a jersey, you know, with the red and black, red, white, and black, I should say, since MJ. And it was one of those numbers that people look back and say, that was cursed. MJ, you're much better in 23, which he certainly was, because he then slaps on 23, and they go on to win three straight championships. A lot of people forget that when Michael came back, they immediately didn't win that three-peat. There was a season where the Orlando Magic actually eliminated the Chicago Bulls in the NBA playoffs. Then Jordan switched his number to 23, and they end up going to become the Bulls of the early 90s. But Denzel wearing 45, curse?
No, because there are three players who brought back the 45 on the Bulls who wore it for the Chicago Bulls.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, three players. You wouldn't recognize any of the games. I mean, I'm a basketball fan, and I've got to say, I hadn't heard the slightest mention of these guys. But here's the thing. You've already heard of Denzel Valentine, if you're a basketball fan. Whether he does well in the NBA or not, you've heard of him. I'm guessing these guys were scrubs. I mean, you know, they're NBA players, but they didn't really do all that much in college or in the NBA. I think Denzel does fine with the number 45. One thing that I find is funny, too, is the 45 isn't really Jordan's. He wore it for about 20 games. I was saying when there was that Kobe debate.
When did he switch? Was it the following year or did he switch midseason?
I think it was midseason.
Oh, it was midseason. I didn't know that.
I'm not exactly sure, but I looked it up because when there was the Kobe debate over the jersey number to retire, whether it would be 8 or 24,
right.
I said, well, Jordan didn't have both retired. Why should Kobe? Mm-hmm. And I looked it up.
But Kobe was great in both of them, though. That's
exactly.
The thing. Yeah.
Kobe was great during both of them, and he wore both for an extended amount of time.
Right.
Jordan wore his 45 for maybe 20 games.
Gotcha. I didn't know it was that short of a time period. And, you know, it's funny, though. You know, when you look at Denzel's name, Denzel Valentine, there's been so many sports broadcasters over the years that have called Denzel Washington and not Denzel Valentine. And I'm sitting there watching Around the Horn on Friday. Sarah Spain was on, and they start talking about Denzel Valentine being drafted to Chicago Bulls. And she says, yeah, you know, Denzel Washington is going to be fantastic with the Bulls. And then Tony Reale's like, you mean Valentine? She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, Valentine. It's funny, though. Denzel Washington, I saw on TMZ today, has weighed in on Denzel Valentine and the name. And he says, oh, yeah, I talked to Denzel. And, you know, I think his mom, you don't quote me on it, but I think his mom named him after me, but don't quote me on that. And, you know, he goes on to talk about him being drafted to the Bulls. And then he says, you know, I think the TMZ reporter asked him, you know, you're a Laker fan, though. Would you rather him play for the Lakers? And he says, I think that's my riot right there. And then he walks off. But it's so cool, though, seeing Denzel Washington finally weigh in on this hotly debated topic concerning Denzel Valentine's name. But, you know, it was so cool, though, watching that yesterday. I mean, Denzel's sitting next to Fred Hoiberg. And, you know, you see Denzel's family there. And by the way, yes, they did name him, I believe, after Denzel Washington. I talked to Denzel's mom about that when they came in for Current Sports. That was Carlton Valentine's favorite actor at the time. Still is, I believe. And they said, all right, yeah, his name is going to be Denzel. But so many broadcasters messed that up, though. It's comical to me.
No, I think Denzel Valentine has done more for this MSU program than arguably anybody except Mike D'Antoni. You know?
Right.
No, you know, I mean, it's always
I see where you're
that
going there. Yeah.
Method of disrespect when it comes to Michigan State. Honestly, it is a common theme. But the quote I heard from Denzel Washington is, how many famous Denzels do you know?
Yeah, how many famous? That's very, very true. I mean, that probably just Valentine and Washington, to be honest with you. Also, a quick early prediction here. Of course, NBA free agency opens up on Friday. Every time I flip on my television, I hear everybody talking about Kevin Durant. He's got many visits. Many different teams are making the trip to New York to talk with KD at Roc Nation's headquarters. I'm giving an early prediction here. I think Kevin Durant does stay in OKC. I think he stays, signs maybe a 2-year contract with the option to opt out after the first year. Nobody can pay KD the amount of money that Oklahoma City can. I saw an amount of like $277 million max contract for the Thunder. I don't think anybody can match that. He's so close to a championship, he can taste it right now. Why KD leaves, I don't know why he would do that. I think he stays in OKC, Isaac.
Well, and I thought it was a positive movement acquiring Victor Oladipo in the draft well. I think OKC is the place where he has the best chance to win. But if it's not the Thunder, watch out for the Knicks. They're doing a great job of rebranding.
Melo is right there. He's already been recruiting him and working out with him. So, all right, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks to Bria Thompson, Sierra Pryor, Seth Kinker, Isaac Constance, and Susie Merchant. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.